T-Buck, good afternoon.
How you doing? That's a great introduction. You just said most picks by guy didn't go to Pro Bowl. Can you believe that? It's funny you mentioned that. I was up at Tom Brady's event, the team, the Patriots.
Oh, hold on. I have to do your interview. And also has a Super Bowl ring for his season with the New England Patriots. Joining us now is T-Buck.
Yes, do that over. So I was up hanging out with the guys, and it's funny. I got I'm doing these jerseys now for my entertainment room, and I got Ty Law jersey. And he puts on, he writes on there, made it personalized, blah, blah, blah. I work him, a member of the 50 Pick Club.
Yeah.
So you said that it just, it was funny. Like, yeah, that's true. So how you guys doing?
I think we're doing fine. Now, I had to guess because I haven't kept track. Well, I bet you're an assistant coach in college football this season. Am I right?
No.
Oh, all right. Are you... You are with Tom Brady on Fox doing analyst work for NFL games.
Hey, I wish I was, but no.
Okay. I know you're not head coach of that team because I don't think the team exists anymore.
That is correct. The Orlando Guardians, not the Predators, but okay. The Orlando Guardians, at least for this year, this past season, no, does not exist.
But it might be after this that you leave me to believe there might be a future there.
Well, you never know. They're talking about realignment. It could be this year. It could be 2 years. You know as well as I know, ratings, money, stadiums, all that stuff, workers' comp, all that stuff has a factor into who's going to have a team or not.
Yes. And I haven't followed the TV ratings. So take us through your career as head coach of the Orlando Guardians. I believe it was one season, correct?
It was one full season of recruiting, putting together the team. And there was another season of actually playing, which was awesome. You're talking about a learning curve of excitement and joy that I got from that. I am forever indebted to The Rock and Danny Garcia and Red Bird Capital for giving me 2 years of something that I always dreamed about. Building a team from scratch, scouting over 3,000 young men, players, coaches, having to do all that was it's priceless. It's one of those things you dream about, and I'm happy I had a chance to do it.
So what'd you like the best? What was the best part?
All of it. Because I had never done it. And I wanted that opportunity. You know, I left college ball because there was something inside of me that wanted more, at least wanted the opportunity.
You wanted to be a head coach. You wanted to be the man.
I want that experience to, for the reason I wanted was to obviously give other people opportunities besides myself that were getting overlooked and to make some calls, you know, see how I would react in the fourth quarter, game on the line. What would I call? What would I call defensively? What would I suggest offense, defense, special teams? So it was pretty exciting.
And what'd you learn? How'd you do? I mean, your record wasn't very good. I don't know how many games down the stretch they were close. Couldn't have gone the way you wanted, wins and losses.
That was the thing. We lost 5 games by a total of 15 points. 5.
Mm-hmm.
So what you just said down the stretch, a fumble here, a touchdown here, a field goal here, missed field goal here, a drop fourth down catch. It was exciting, disappointing, exhilarating, all of those things at the same time. And probably what I was disappointed about was not getting the opportunity to come back that next year and show the improvement. We had a 90% turnover. I made some changes on the coaching staff. So I was doing.
All right, hold on. Let's address that. You don't have to give names. So what changes did you make, or what did you learn? Because I know you want to be a head coach again.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what changes I made, I realized very quickly that the way we drafted, because we had to start from scratch, the philosophy and what we drafted and what we were trying to go on the offensive line was wrong. So I made a change on the offensive line.
What was the idea? What did you realize was wrong, and what did you change to? Because all this stuff can help make me and everybody listening a little smarter about football.
Okay. So we went for more of developmental players, because mm-hmm. that was mentioned in one of the meetings, instead of getting the kid from Wisconsin, the offensive lineman, that had started 2 years, even though he might not have been an NFL pick, needed a little more development, that was used to run blocking. Getting guys from teams that had some success mm-hmm. and not taking, you know, you pick a guy from here that maybe looks good, but he hadn't played. And that was a theme at first for the XFL. And my first year, I wanted to buy by the rules. Then you had these veteran coaches, Bob Stoops, Wade Phillips. They was getting guys that they wanted, that they knew that was going to help them win, get them to the point. So I learned that within the first 3 weeks of training camp. And we only had 15 transactions. So now you're stuck with some guys that you know are not going to get it done for you. But the mindset was we had 3 years. Obviously, that didn't work. So that's one of the most disappointing things, is not getting a chance to recognize, to admit, okay, I was wrong on that. We didn't do a good job with that pick. Schematically, that was one. I had to make a change with the offensive coordinator in the middle of the season, because the kids wasn't learning, or they couldn't understand what he was trying to teach. And I had an older coach. And the way they learn now, give you an example, the number system. So if I call the play I week 789, you know, if you count from left to right or right to left, you got the Z receiver, you got the tight end, and you got the X receiver. So if I'm counting right to left, the first number speaks to the Z. The second number speaks to the tight end. Right. The third number speaks to the X. Simple, right?
I got it. Z, tight end, X, right to left.
Or 789, 342, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Well, the kids today, that ain't how they learn. They didn't learn that. That's called a route tree. Okay. That's how I learn ball. That's why I can make so many plays. Well, they wanted a word. Tornado. Tornado tells them everything. Florida. You know, I mean, it was crazy. It was like, okay, that makes sense to me, the number system, but it makes no sense to the players. I'm not playing. I'm telling the coordinator, you're not playing. We have to do whatever makes sense for the players. And it was some hesitation there. So, you know, I had to make some changes. That was a very difficult decision, but something had to be done. And we got better. We went from averaging 11 points a game to 24 points. So all our stats the second half of the season picked up, except the wins.
Well, but you were – I can't say I ever watched the game. I watched you a little bit some of the time. But, the games early were the numbers were not good, and the numbers got much better and closer as the season went on, it seemed to me. And that would explain it. You're scoring 11 points a game. You got no chance.
No chance.
Unless you got the Bears 85 defense. What did you learn the most? Like the next time you get to be head coach, I mean, you mentioned the players, but in terms of handling situation, handling the players, was it the same as you thought and what you knew?
That's a great question. I learned this. whatever game plan you have and how you're going to treat players, you go in and that's what you do from day one. And you make decisions, you make quick decisions because you've thought about it. That's what's best for the team. And don't let players, you might like somebody and you want them to play and be good, but if they're not good for the team, you have to make that decision. Coaches included. I would hire a totally different staff, guys with more experience. You have to sit through, when I say that, you got to sit through the interviews and listen to the guys, listen to their stories. And that gives you a clear picture on, yes, hire him. Because he's going to be a team player. He's going to do what the system says. And you hear this all the time. You probably hear Coach LaFleur talking about this all the time, the Packers. They got to buy in to what we're selling. And then what you're selling has to produce some fruits. I remember I used to always fall back onto Belichick. And that helped me get through the season because of the success that he didn't have early on in his career as a coach. Mm-hmm. Finally, he still had the same system, the same thought process, but he got better players. He got that quarterback. I went through three quarterbacks. The first one, this is going to make you laugh, not laugh, but this is one. So we drafted, we picked up Peyton, number one pick for the New England, Denver Broncos, Paxton Lynch, y'all remember Paxton Lynch?
I'm sure Pebble does.
Yeah, he played at Memphis. He was a very good quarterback.
Yes, 6'6", 240, gunslinger, all that, right? So I'm talking to my assistant. I was the head coach, and we had two general managers, myself and another guy, right? And I'm asking him, the quarterback coach, an offensive coordinator, have you done your research? Are you sure this is the guy? Because that's going to determine how, you know, what happens, right?
Yes, I'm with you there.
Let me tell you all this. We sign him. He looks good. I'm excited. So I'm watching. I'm talking about the drill, their first drill in practice. You put two quarterbacks beside each other. You get two lines, and you have one receiver running out, the other running out on the other side. And this is just from a football mind. I watch him throw it, and he had a windup. And the other quarterback dropped and released it, you know, right at the top. So I asked him, did y'all know he had a windup? Like, it's going to take him 5 seconds to get rid of the ball. We don't need 5 seconds. We need 2 seconds, a second and a half, you know? And they were like, oh, coach, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. His arm is strong. And I said, I done been through this. When a guy has a long windup, two things going to happen negatively. He's going to throw interception.
Because people are going to have times to react. Defensive backs are going to have the time to make changes or adjustments or, you know, whatever. They got 100%. More time, right? Wind-up means I'm 100%. A defensive back. I got more time, and that means I'm going to be able to handle things better. All right.
Yes. And then once the quarterback says, man, I'm throwing picks, and everybody's getting on him for throwing interception, you know what the next thing he's going to do. He's going to start holding the ball and taking sacks. And don't you know that's what happened?
So he had 5 games or whatever. Now, if you had to give the kid credit, you mentioned the system was a problem. If you had had a better system from the beginning, would he have done better? Yes or no?
We changed the system for him.
Oh, okay.
So you throw that out. I wanted to make sure that nobody had any excuses. So to speed it up, obviously after 5, I had to cut him. I had to release him.
Yeah.
I had to release him because he wasn't getting it done. Now, this was all number one QB that I have to cut out of five games.
Yep.
And we had makeshift offensive line. So we used 10 of our transactions on the offensive line. I mean, I was cutting guys, bringing guys in. I mean, it was a nightmare first 5 weeks, but also enlightened, if that makes any sense. Like, I was growing and understanding and like, okay, this is what I've always talked about, and I couldn't understand why when Cincinnati was bad and all of them, like, why do they keep being bad every year? Because they keep doing the same thing. And I wanted to make sure that the players saw that I didn't think I knew everything. There's a foundation that is going to be laid here, and there are some rules. I call it the Guardian way. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to operate. Well, we don't have all the tools, but I'm trying to get these tools in here. And that's what happened to us. Even though we won one game, the last four games, we had opportunity. We lost those games by 2 and 3 points. If we would have won three of those games, we would have made the playoffs, just like the Arlington Renegades did with Stoops. They made the playoffs with four wins.
So your guy was Quentin Dormady? That's the guy who took his place that you went with?
Yes. Yes.
I never heard of him before. Quentin. Pavel, have you ever heard of that guy?
Have not, no.
Quentin was a young man that bounced around. Now, you got to think about the XFL first year. A lot of guys, obviously, practice squad. You take the practice squad guy for the Packers. If he would have said, yes. I'm just using him as an example. Would have took him. But it was like recruiting. You had to convince them and the agent that taking reps is good for you versus sitting on the sideline or just doing practice. And that's hard. I want to say this past year, there were maybe three guys that did it, which is an improvement. It was like, I need to play instead of just taking practice reps. So that was very, very challenging. Is getting guys with some experience to come and help you.
Now, we got to take a break, but I'm looking this up, and there was an issue that they said maybe they investigated him giving the team plays from the playbook to an opponent, and then they looked at it, and he never happened, and then he was cut, and then he came back on the team. All right, continue your walk. We're going to take a quick break. Terrell Buckley, can you give us one more? However long you want to talk. Terrell Buckley, round two.
Yeah, I'm walking.
All right,
yes.
Next. It's a new concept for the show. If we can run anybody down who's on a walk, we're going to talk to them while they're walking. The first ever to do this, 50 interceptions in his NFL career, Terrell Buckley. T-Buck discussing his time as head coach, and we were going to get to his quarterback, Quentin Dormady, who you didn't know this, T-Buck, but similar to my college career, all he did was transfer. He started at Tennessee, then he went to Houston, then he went to Central Michigan. But he's got some good. He had some good numbers with you, and you were 0-6. Your only win was against the team that was unbeaten at 6-0, and he had 328 yards, three touchdowns, and he ran for three touchdowns or something.
Yes. And that was after the change. I want to back up a little bit. So I want to give you guys a little context, just a picture on what we had to go through to build this team. So we saw all these players. I'm going to make it fast. We reported to training camp 6 weeks before the season, five and a half weeks before the season started, with players that we had never seen. We had never been able to work out, I should say. We've seen him on Zoom. And we had to spend the first week and a half making sure they was conditioned properly. And some of these young men hadn't played in 3-4 years. So all the issues that I talked about earlier, it was like live. It was like happening real time because we didn't have OTAs. We didn't have summer workouts. We didn't have any of that stuff. So our training camp was the first time we had laid eye on these guys. And nobody had knew these guys. And you, it was open competition. So you was making decisions on, okay, he can start or he can't start every 3-4 days. And then guys got hurt. So back to Quentin, yes, there was. And so what I did, which I, when you say something I learned, I never do this again. So I feel like I had three quarterbacks, and we sat down and hatched out a plan, myself, the coordinator, and the quarterback coach, along with them, because nobody stuck up, nobody took the job. Okay, you're gonna start two games, you're gonna start this game. We can only activate two of you guys. So one of you going to have to be deactivated for the game. And that's when all this started.
And that was done based on the premise that I'm assuming you're going to get 3 years. Like you, it's if you'd have been told this is your only deal, your only year, you'd have probably done it differently, I'm guessing. You thought.
100%. I would have drafted differently, hired coaches differently. I mean, everything would have been different. But I was on the premise, I got 3 years. We signed 3-year deals. And it was supposed to be a different league, developmental. You want to develop some guys, too.
Right. For the NFL.
Again, I spoke about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. That's why we started that early. So the season ends. If you notice, like last year, the year before, the season ended, and it ran right into OTAs, right after the draft, which was perfect for guys trying to make a team. And after the first year, we had, I want to say 100 guys, somewhere close to that, that actually was invited to work out. Some of them, I think half of them got a chance to go to training camp.
Wow.
So it was unique, and it is unique, and it's exciting. And then you get a situation like
I should have been your advisor. See, like I would have told you, you got 1 year, that's it. I don't care what they tell you, the history of these leagues is, the chances are better than 50-50. You got 1 year, and they're going to change into something else. I apologize. I should have. That's what I would have told
you. Have.
And I'll tell you that of
you
every league that exists now. Everybody doing it better realize it's possible. This is it. You got 1 year,
yes.
And it's over. And if it's more than that, then I'll admit I'm wrong. But you better do everything based on you got 1 year, because I'm still not convinced that anybody has watched. I don't think they've had any decent TV ratings. Maybe it was different this year. I don't know. I don't think so.
This year was a little different because they merged. And I would say this, Homer, that's the example. When we really started to talk about coaching a couple years ago, the one thing that I really told you I wanted was for guys to get the opportunity to grow within the coaching, grow as a head coach, grow as a coordinator. Well, I had a lot of growth that first year, like you was talking about. Now I understand. But now, are you going to get that opportunity again?
Yep.
That's the stuff I'm talking about. You get some coaches, they get multiple opportunities, and they do the same thing.
Yeah, you're not going to get multiple opportunities. I'll help you on that one, T-Buck. I hope you get another one.
Yeah.
But... All right, of the people,
why?
Because the people never thought of you in that regard, and the only time you coach, mm-hmm. you're 1-9. They can call me, and mm-hmm. I'll tell them who's going to be able to figure it out and do well, but they're not listening to me. Of the people that you coached or the coached against or that you played for, did it change your opinion on any of them after being the head coach? Like, oh, this guy was better than I thought. This guy was worth. I mean, clearly you still believed in Belichick. You don't have any choice on that because of how much he's won. But did it change your view in looking back at some of the coaches differently after you did it and lived it?
Absolutely. You know what I found? I came to the conclusion was you have to do some hard things when you're the leader, unpopular things. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to appreciate what you're doing until it's over. So every head coach that I've played for, I have even more respect for I love Belichick. I love Mike Holmgren. I took Coach Bowden stuff. I took some Mike Holmgren stuff and Belichick stuff.
See, my view of Bobby Bowden. Give me the best players and we'll win. What was his coaching style? I don't know, but I'm going to have good players and just go let them play. But maybe that's not fair. What'd you take from Bobby Bowden? Or be honest with everybody? I don't know. All I know is I'm going to have best players and let's go play. But maybe not.
You got to get them there. That's the part in the XFL. You got to get them there. In college. He had the personality to get the players there, and he was smart enough to hire the best assistants to complete his vision.
Wow.
All right. Everything is important as it gets to the Green Bay Packers. I'm afraid at some point your walk's going to end. You know Jaire Alexander. You taught to him. You coached him in college. I thought he went goofy. Like, he something about being captain, made himself captain, and I think everything's changed. He's in the best frame of mind he's ever been in Green Bay. I think the kid they brought in from the Giants will really help, all of which could be wrong. So tell me if I'm wrong or right or whatever.
It's like life. And in that situation in Carolina, it was two things. Obviously, he's, to me, still one of the best corners in the NFL. And he was going home, and he felt like he should have been the captain.
Right.
Regardless of what's going on, right? Well, he was not. So he inserted himself, and this is what he's talking about, the head coach, what I learned and all that. Well, LaFleur has been a head coach for a couple of years. I don't know if he'd have reacted the way he did a couple of years ago, but he put his foot down and told him, this is what's going to happen. I love you. I appreciate you. I want you to be part of this organization for a long time. I have your back, but you can't go out there and embarrass me like that. You can't embarrass the organization, the city. And Jaire is one of the most intelligent young men I ever met. He took that and understood that the love is there. He was wrong in that situation. And let me get back to doing what I came here to do, which is to play ball and be the best corner in the NFL. That's what you're going to get.
So you give LaFleur a lot of credit for the way he handled it? Or did I?
Absolutely. Just based on our experience, because you got to let them know you can't rock this boat like this when we got it going. And then go around, and this is what Coach Bowden, you say you learned too? Mickey Andrews like this, Florida State. He would get all over you on the field if you did something that was not right. It was not team-related. I mean, you would actually think, this man is, oh, my God, he hates me. As soon as he steps off the field, as soon as that's over, he comes in and articulates that, put his arm around you, and explains to you why. But it's from a place of love, of caring. Not a place of just, I'm just going to do this because
he doesn't have the time or doesn't want to take to go through that when the game's going on. We got to deal with the game now. Got to do what has to be done, however you feel about it, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. You do it afterwards.
Do you have time for 10 minutes on the Packers, or is your walk all over?
No, I got 10 minutes always for the Pack, baby. I got in my Pack cheese heads now.
All right.
Make time.
Yes, T-Buck on the Pack next. He's on a walk. He is Terrell Buckley. T-Buck. 50 interceptions. I don't think anybody currently playing in the NFL is going to get to 50. I don't know what it is. I'll ask T-Buck in a second. Patrick Peterson's 36. That's the closest. Doesn't make sense. They pass more than they ever did. T-Buck, why doesn't anybody have interceptions? Yes.
I think it's the system. A lot of coaches they teach stay deep. I think you have to have something in you to understand the game, study a little bit more, and understand when an opportunity arises. If they give you a formation, the receiver puts that left foot up, his favorite route is third and four, third and five. You're playing off. You know he like to run the speed out. You got to position yourself. Have some guts. See? You see it? Believe it? Go make it happen.
Somebody's got to be playing in the league. Somebody's got to be playing in the league that you think could get to 50.
Whew.
I don't know.
I don't know. I studied Sauce Gardner when he came out, but they put him in press. I don't know if he has a chance. Somebody with ball skills like Jair obviously got ball skills. I think the system is going to dictate a lot of stuff too. Surtain Jr. Bloodline.
Are the quarterbacks better? Are quarterbacks better? I don't know that they throw fewer interceptions. Who is it? No.
I don't think they're better. I think it's a combination of what's being taught defensively. Men don't break, and some guys just have that feel that they're going to do it, and some guys don't. Like, I remember Asante Samuel coming in to the league, the dad, and right off the rip, ball skill, and he's going to make his plays. It's somebody with that type of attitude that has to come in and do it, and don't worry about those guys going to catch balls on it. You're going to get beat. Sometimes they make a big deal out of it, right? And you just got to keep plugging along.
That's easy to say.
Yeah. That's why you draft guys. We talk about the history. That's why you draft guys that.
Asante Samuel, he had 51.
Mm-hmm. But he came in with the attitude. He made plays in high school.
I mean, Charles Woodson's the latest one by far. He's at 65. He was in 2015. There's nobody after 2015 near anything.
Yeah.
Terrence Newman, 2017, he's got 42. All right.
Yes.
I mean, you try to create turnovers. That's the whole point.
That's the whole point. But I keep telling you guys, it's the structure and how the coaches are presenting that information to them of don't get beat deep and don't make plays or we're going to cut you. And you sit there as a DB, and if you have that in the back of your mind, instead of just freely playing, you're not going to go. You're not going to finish.
Harrison Smith has 34. He's a safety, right?
Yes.
He ain't gonna get
and that's the combination, too. If you get a guy like Wood that played corner, played star, played safety, that gets more opportunity, then that guy, he might have a shot. But a pure corner, it's going to be tough.
Talking with T-Buck. All right, so you're expecting a big year from Jair, but I'm assuming he's not going to have that many interceptions. Nobody gets interceptions.
He's going to have enough. If you watch last year, I feel like he started to make more plays on the ball. Mm-hmm. He was the explosion I saw was coming back. He was healthy finally. And I think the system is allowing him. He has a new DB coach that I know.
You know him?
Ashley.
You know him?
Yeah, I know him. Yes, I know him. That he's going to install some things in him.
How do you know him?
To make it happen. Well, just recruiting. He was in college with me, college coach.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years ago, he called me and drafted one of my players from Ole Miss. So we talked a little bit. We talked scheme, some different things. And this mini camp that you guys just had, one of my GAs, Trey Bell, who's another fine young coach, going to be in the NFL soon. He was telling me a little bit about what was happening up there.
What Halfley's
and
doing.
And the way Jair and what Jair, how Jair is looking. So,
what can you tell us?
He's back. He's a dog. That's what he said. That exact words.
Jair's a dog. He's back.
He's a dog.
Okay,
yes.
Explain why he wasn't a dog then.
Hurt shoulder.
All right.
Feeling his way. You know how sometimes some guys, when you get hurt and you know you're that top player and you can't put in that time, that work, that preparation, because you're in the rehab, you're training, trying to get back healthy. You don't go out and play the way that you, in your mind, you want to play that way. But physically, you can't.
All right, so he's healthy now.
Yes.
It will
like
have
Porzingis
these...
last night.
All right, he's a dog. We will tell the world that T-Buck says Jair's back. He's a dog again.
Yes.
When was the last time he was a dog with the Packers? I don't know. You'd have a couple years.
Before he got before
the show.
Before the play, the swing pass, when he ran up and smacked the running back and hurt his shoulder.
Okay. Before then. All right. And Halfley, style, what can you tell us? Anything you want to tell us about Jeff Halfley?
Not Jeff. Ashley is one of the bright minds of adjustments, right? Like you can say, I want to play cover three.
Yeah.
He understands, again, if they're an eye back, are they strong? The receiver's placed this way. The splits between receiver one and the slot is a little bit wider than normal. He understands, number one, going to run a slant. Little things like that. He's actually going to coach schematically and going to get the players to understand. This is when you go in, and this is when you make that play. This is how you finish. And that's what you're going to get.
What will people be able to notice anything? Will anything stand out, or what will stand out the most with the defense in Halfley? Or is that a question that can't be
answered? That's going to be one of them. That's going to be one of them. Communication. You're going to have less blown coverages and not as many mismatches. So you're gonna see that. I would say within the first five or six games, once you compile the data, you're gonna see the difference.
Everybody will look like they know where they're supposed to be, then doing what they're supposed to be doing. There'll be no confusion.
Yes. And so
nobody looking at each other.
If somebody gets beat, which they will, that person is gonna be on that receiver and they're gonna make a good play. And that happens in the NFL all the time.
Just get beat. All right, Jordan Love. I've never had you. You've never been my quarterback expert because I assume that you believe. I assume you believe you can pick. You get picks from anybody. So all right. So you're now my quarterback guy. Is it too early to know Jordan Love, or how quickly do you know somebody? And then your thought on him. I don't know how much you've been able to watch.
Well, I've watched a lot, and what I really like about Jordan Love is he's been thrown in the fire. He's had some ups and downs, and he's come out on the other end. That's when you know you got somebody. When they come out on the other end, how do they look after they've been had all the ups and downs? One game, he's the greatest. Next game, he goes, I think it was Washington. Doesn't play that well. Oh, he can't do it. And then he made them adjustments. And then came out on the end and became one of the top quarterbacks in the league, young quarterbacks. So right there, I said to myself, he's special. The Packers, again, has done a great job of drafting. Let him eat. And he sat behind one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, too. And to be able to go through that, that's how you rate somebody. Do they have what it takes? Not the arm strength, not the footwork, not all that stuff. Does he have what it takes between the ears? And I said a resounding yes, he does.
So who knows how good he could be? You just think he's in that. Once you have that, you just give him the ball and let's go?
Yes. Because he's going to work. Now, this is other thing, too. When they have that between the ears, the preparation is like second nature. You hear Tom talk about the preparation. You hear Peyton Manning. You hear all these guys talk about how they prepare and how they already had made those plays before the season even started. That's what I see in Jordan Love. His preparation, I remember 2 years ago, when I came to Wisconsin, I went to Green Bay and I watched practice. Aaron was still there. And I'm watching Jordan Love throw these outs. And I'm like, yes. His preparation and what he was doing, his footwork, working the bags. Like, yeah, he got something here.
Well, maybe you will be. Just, now you will be my quarterback guy. T-Buck, we've run out of time. I owe you a favor. I don't know whatever you want. So in the last 15 seconds, what are you doing now, or what do you want to do next?
Well, real quick, my foundation, I've crunked my foundation back up, TerrellBuckleyFoundation.org. I just finished a golf event. I'm doing a football event in my hometown of Pascagoula, Goshen, Mississippi. And these are free events, so I'm working with the youth. TerrellBuckleyFoundation.org. Check it out.
Will do.
That's what I'm doing.
All right. Well, we're going to do what we can to help in our own little way. I know a guy who's a pretty good auctioneer if you need any help with that. All right.
Well, thank you so much, always.
You
appreciate
bet. You. T-Buck, we'll do it again. Terrell Buckley. I'll get to the Discount Liquor Twitter poll question next.